Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Hey, today we're going to be talking about healing. Everybody say healing. And one thing that I've realized about this series is that these things we're talking about, like immigration and racism and marriage and the other thing that I won't talk about because there's so many kids in the room. One thing I'm really realizing with this series is that most of us come into these messages with a lot of baggage. So it's like we have heavy things on our heart about some of these things. And I know that sometimes the topic of healing can be an area that some of us have a lot of questions about. So we're going to try to answer those questions today, and we're going to have a prayer time at the end. But I want to start in Genesis chapter 1 at the very beginning of the Bible. And when God created the world, and this is a verse that we've been talking about almost every week in this series. It says that God created people in his image. And that means God created people to reflect back to him what he was like. And when God created the earth, he created it in such a way that we could have awesome lives, that we could have full lives. And he made our bodies. He didn't make our bodies to get sick or to die. He made our bodies perfect. And sometimes we think that our bodies are standing in the way of us obeying God. But actually, God made our bodies special to be able to understand him better. So everybody point to your ears. Point to your ears. Where are your ears, Zoe? Our ears help us to hear God better. Everybody point to your eyes. When we see beautiful things in the world, it helps us to understand God. Everybody show me your hands. All the little guys in here, show me your hands. Thompson, where are your hands at? Our hands can help us to serve people and show God's love through helping people. And everybody put your hand on your heart. Sometimes when I sing and I worship Jesus, I feel him in my heart. And I feel God's presence. Have any of you ever felt God like that when you sing to him? Do you ever feel him in your heart? That's where I feel him sometimes. So God made our bodies to experience his love and to help us learn about his presence. But when sin came into the world, sin made things broken so that things didn't work right anymore. And I want to start today by saying that I don't mean that when you get sick, it's because you did something wrong. It's clear in the Bible with us that our sickness isn't God's way of punishing us. And we're going to look at a story from the Bible, from the book of John, and I'm going to need two kids to help me with this story. I need two kids to help me with this story. Who wants to help me? Two kids. One, two, right there. Oh, this is going to be good. All right. Okay. Here we go. Which one of you wants to be Jesus? All right, you're the blind man. You're Jesus. Okay. So, Jesus, come over here. What's your name, Ashley?
Colin.
Colin, what's your name?
Keenan.
Keenan, you're feeling really cool in those sunglasses, aren't you? He's feeling cool in those sunglasses. You have those on because you're blind, okay? All right. So, here we go. John chapter 9, it says, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. There we go. Oh, yeah. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, take this, neither this man nor his parents sinned. So you say this man didn't sin.
This man didn't sin.
And his parents didn't sin.
And his parents didn't sin.
But this happened.
But this happened.
So the works of God.
So the works of God.
Can be displayed in him.
Can be displayed in him.
So Jesus said, this man didn't sin, and his parents didn't sin, but God's going to make his power known because of this man's illness. So then, after saying this, it says, this is my cup of dirt here. It's a cup of dirt. What does it smell like? It's tea. Okay. So it says, after saying this, he spit on the ground. Okay, he spit in the dirt. and made some mud with the saliva. Can you guess what's going to happen next? Take the mud. What does that smell like? Chocolate, right. Chocolate mud, it's a good world. After he said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. What? All right, so he spit on the ground and he put the mud on the man's eyes. All right. And then he said to the man, don't put those sunglasses back. I have to wear those later. Here. And then he said to the man,
go.
Wash that off.
Okay, then give him the, there. Then he washes it off. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now you can see. You're like real excited about it. It's an understated excitement. Good job. All right, clap for our volunteers. Do that. Thank you. You wipe your chocolate and hands off. Last service, I had to stick my hands in there, and then my hands smell like chocolate for the rest of the sermon. It was very distracting. You guys can go sit down. Thank you. You guys did an awesome job. So he said, go put this mud on your eyes and go wash in the pool. And he came home seeing. But this verse tells us, this story tells us, that Jesus was very clear that it wasn't the man's sin that made him sick. But this happened, it said, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So I want you to know, first of all, that sickness and disease is not God punishing us. It's an opportunity for God to show his power through us. Okay? So there's three things that are really important for you to know about healing. The first thing is, God always cares about us. So everybody say, God always cares about me. God always cares about me. God never forgets about us. The second thing you need to know is that God made it possible for our bodies to be healed when we're sick. So God knew that when sin entered the world, that we would start to have problems with our bodies. Sometimes our tummies might hurt, or sometimes our bodies might not work the way that they were supposed to. But God made it possible for our bodies to be healed, and he did that by sending Jesus. God sent Jesus to make healing possible. And back a long, long time ago, there was a prophet called Isaiah. And a prophet was someone who could see things that hadn't happened yet. God gave them the ability to see things that hadn't happened yet. And Isaiah said this about Jesus. He said, surely Jesus took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. That means made sick and made in pain. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That means our sin. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So that means that when Jesus was crucified, he took wounds on himself so that we could have healing in our bodies. And what Jesus did when Jesus was raised from the dead, he started to give us a preview of what our lives will be like in eternity. So how many of you have seen the new Star Wars trailer? Raise your hand if you've seen the new Star Wars trailer. Well, I'm really happy for Jeremiah and Liliana are coming out of their seats right now. But how many of you have ever seen a trailer or a preview for a movie that you're so excited to see? And you see a little commercial for it and you're like, I cannot wait to see this movie. I'm so excited. But you don't get to watch the movie yet, do you? So they give you this preview and then you have to wait, even though you're really excited, right? This is kind of what Jesus did. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, he went, hey, you don't get this yet, but I want to show you what's coming. And then during Jesus' time on the earth, he healed people's body. So people would come to him and say, Jesus, I'm really sick. And Jesus would heal their body because he was giving us a preview of what our life is going to be like when we go to heaven and we're with Jesus forever. God gives us little pictures in this world of what eternity will be like, and healing is a picture of what that will be. Tim Keller, in his book, The Reason for God, said this. He said, "We modern people think of miracles as the suspension of the natural order, but Jesus meant them to be the restoration of the natural order." That means sometimes when God does miracles or when God heals us, we think, like, that's really weird and that's not how it's supposed to be. But actually, that's how things are supposed to be, and Jesus wants to restore that. The Bible tells us that God did not originally make the world to have disease, hunger, and death in it. Jesus has come to redeem where it is wrong and heal the world where it is broken. His miracles are not just proof that he has power, but also wonderful foretastes, that means previews, of what he is going to do with that power. Jesus' miracles are not just a challenge to our minds, but a promise to our hearts that the world we want is coming. It's a promise that Jesus makes to us that he's going to make everything right in the end. So I want to call attention to what most of us think about when we think about healing. And that is, what if we pray for healing and God doesn't heal us? Have any of you ever prayed for something and you feel like God didn't answer your prayer? Has that ever happened to anyone? It's happened to me, where I prayed for something and God didn't give me what I wanted. And sometimes when we pray for healing, it feels like God didn't answer our prayer. But I want you to know that God always sees you. And remember, God never forgets about you. And that means sometimes God has different plans for us. But I want you to know that nothing is wasted in the kingdom. Everybody say, nothing is wasted in the kingdom. And that means that no matter what, if you obey God and you follow his ways, God is going to use you for the kingdom. In Philippians chapter 3, a guy in the Bible named Paul, he said this. He said, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." So Paul is saying, I would give everything away just to know Jesus more. I would give everything away if I could be closer to Jesus. And then he says this. He says, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." I want you to know today that when God heals your body, that's a participation in the power of the resurrection. When God doesn't heal your body, it's an opportunity to be a partner in the suffering of Christ. So when we're in seasons in our life of suffering, that's not wasted. That's a way that we become more like Jesus. And we begin to understand different things about Jesus. Both of these things should have the same outcome, and that is to know Jesus more. So, you know, some people, when they talk about healing, they make it seem like there's a secret formula or a certain prayer or a certain way you have to have faith. They make it seem like this magic formula, but in the Bible, Jesus healed people a lot of different ways. So in Mark chapter 10, Jesus's friend Mark tells us this story about another guy that Jesus healed. And he says, "Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, which were his friends, together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, a different blind man named Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Now many rebuked him," that means many yelled at him and told him to be quiet, "but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him or bring him to me.' So they called to the blind man and said, 'Cheer up, get on your feet. Jesus is calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, he said, "I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So sometimes we make prayer really complicated and we think, I don't know how to pray for this thing. And whether you're a kid or an adult, sometimes prayer is harder for us. Because if you tell a kid that Jesus can heal them, guess what? They just believe that Jesus can heal them. For us, when we're adults, we've seen a lot and we've walked through a lot and we have all these deep questions. But ultimately, what it comes down to is Jesus standing in front of us and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's what prayer is. Prayer is Jesus standing in front of you and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you answering back exactly what comes into your mind that you need Jesus to do. And for some of us, that thing is an impossible thing that Jesus couldn't possibly accomplish in our life. This blind man, there was no hope for him. He knew that there was no hope. But he asked Jesus to do the impossible. He said, "I want to see." Maybe for some of you, if Jesus asked you that question, you need a healing in your body. You need a healing in your physical body. Maybe for some of you, there's someone else in your life that needs healing. Maybe for some of you, it's a relationship. Maybe it's a situation in your finances that you need help with. But ultimately, most of us have in mind an answer to that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" But maybe today you're here and you don't even know how to answer that question anymore because you've prayed for the same thing a lot of times or you've asked God for something that he didn't do, and so now you feel like you don't know how to answer that question. And that's okay too. I want to tell you today that Jesus is bigger than your doubt, and that means sometimes that when you have trouble believing, Jesus is bigger than that and he can help you with that. So we're going to have a time of prayer this morning, and we're going to pray for healing. And our team has been praying all week, and we believe that God's going to heal some people today. We've been praying for it really hard, and I told God this morning, I said, "God, we're putting you on the spot because we're going to tell those people today that you heal and you have the power to heal." So we're asking God to show up and to release healing into some of you. So we're going to put into practice what we see in the book of James, chapter 5. James says this about praying for healing. He says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So two things about this practice, I think. First of all, it means you don't have to always just pray for yourself. Now, I'm not saying there's anything magic about the elders of the church praying for you, but sometimes you're too sick or you're too tired to have faith for your own healing. And what this does is it says, let the body of Christ come around you. Let those who are further ahead in their faith come around you and have faith on your behalf. Let them help you and hold you up in those times. And the second thing this talks about is anointing with oil. And so we're going to have anointing oil available today. And this is not a magic formula. It's just olive oil, honestly. So this week in our staff meeting, our team talked about, should we use oil? Should we not use oil? You know, and we decided that we should use oil because James tells us to use oil. So again, there's nothing magical about this. It's just a vial of olive oil. But in the Old Testament, when there was a new king or when there was a new priest, they were anointed with oil. And this was a symbol that they were consecrated to God. This was a symbol that they trusted God. And this was a symbol that they were committing to follow God. And the other thing this does is it becomes an outward symbol of prayer, because prayer happens inside of us. It's not something that we can see. So oil becomes something that we can see that reminds us of the prayer inside of our hearts. So our team is going to prepare to be available to pray with you. And they have anointing oil, and we will ask your permission, or your child's permission, before we use this. But we want you to know why we're doing that today. And I want to tell you also that maybe some of you here need healing in your body, but maybe there's someone that you love or someone that you care about, and they need healing in their body. There were times in the Bible where someone came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, my friend is really sick." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll come. I'll come in a few minutes." And the guy said, "No, you don't even have to come. I believe that you can heal them. Just say the word and they'll be healed." So if there's someone, if it's not you, if there's someone else that you care about, that you love, and you want Jesus to heal them, we want to pray with you also. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're like, "Man, I want in on this resurrection thing," we want to pray with you today. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter. If you feel, the only way I can describe it is like a stirring in your heart. If you feel like you want to become a follower of Jesus today and you want a fresh start in your life, we would love to pray with you today. So I'm going to have Gordon and Leslie go to this corner over here. Joel will be back here. Joel can pray with you in French. Suzanne will be in this back corner. She can also pray in French. And then Lindsay and I will be down here. So kids, if you want Miss Lindsay to pray with you this morning, she can pray with you, okay? And if you're not a kid and you want Miss Lindsay to pray for you and you want one of us to pray with you, we would love the opportunity to do that. So if you would stand with us this morning, we're gonna finish our worship set. We're gonna do two more worship songs. If we can pray with you today, we believe that God is going to heal some people today. So please take advantage of anybody you'd like to pray with. And if not, join us in worship for this last couple songs. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for the gifts of goodness that you give us in our lives. Lord, your healing is a gift to us, and we receive that today. God, your presence is a gift to us, and we receive that today. Lord, I pray right now that each one who has received prayer for healing, and God, some of those who didn't come forward, that you would release your healing power in their lives. Father, you promised this to us through your Son, and we claim that promise today as your children. God, I ask that you would release your healing power. God, may we be known as a church of healing. Amen. We thank you so much, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about The Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.